What's the most popular rifle in America? By most accounts, it's the AR-15, a lightweight, easy-to-use firearm prized by millions of gun owners and loathed by millions of others who are alarmed that it's become the weapon of choice for recent mass shooters. But few know the history of this gun, a history that's told in the new book, American Gun, The True Story of the AR-15, by Cameron McWhirter and Zusha Ellenson. Cameron and Zusha are reporters for the Wall Street Journal, and they join us now to share five key insights from their book.
It was created in a garage by an unknown inventor in the 1950s, and it has since become the most popular rifle in America and the most hated. It is a symbol of Second Amendment rights to millions of Americans and a symbol of a violent gun culture run amok to millions more.
Hello. My name is Cameron McWhirter. I'm here with Zusha Ellenson. We're the co-authors of American Gun, The True Story of the AR-15, a new book about how a Cold War weapon came to sit at the very center of our nation's ongoing debate over firearms in our society. Today, most Americans have an opinion about the AR-15, and most don't have any idea about its improbable history. With this book, we set about to change that. American Gun, The True Story of the AR-15 is an inventor's story, a business story, a war story, a politics story, a culture war story, and a survivor's story. In this podcast, we're going to focus on the inventor and give you five key insights from American Gun about the nature of inventors and the impact of inventions on society.
Insight number one. True innovators are hyper-focused on specific problems, and they have the ability to see them in new ways that conventional thinking hasn't. Eugene Stoner, the inventor of the AR-15 rifle, never went to college and had no formal training in engineering or gun design. Instead of limiting him, it gave him the freedom to try out ideas that others wouldn't consider. For centuries, gun makers had built their rifles out of wood and steel, making them very heavy. As he tinkered with guns in his Los Angeles garage, Stoner wondered if he could instead use lightweight modern materials that were becoming popular in the 1950s. He had worked with aluminum for years as a machinist making aircraft parts. If humans were soaring into the atmosphere in airplanes, made of this lightweight material, couldn't aluminum tolerate the pressures of firing a gun? One of his major innovations was to use aluminum instead of heavy steel to make a critical piece of the rifle. He, along with colleagues at a small firearms company, also used fiberglass and plastic instead of wood for other parts. Stoner's mind never stopped. He sketched gun designs on everything he could find. Out to dinner with his family, his wife would scold him for drawing on the white linen tablecloths. "They can wash it out," he would say. He devised clever ways of using the force of hot gas from the exploding gunpowder to move parts inside the gun to eject spent casings and load new rounds. In doing so, he eliminated cumbersome metal parts that had been used in the past. At first, his new gas system blew hot gas right into his face when he fired the gun, but he perfected it and eventually patented it. The result was a rifle that was futuristic, lightweight, and remarkably easy to shoot. As Stoner later said, quote, "It looked a little far out for that time in history."
Insight number two. Inventors are compulsive and often only fixated on the problems before them, not the long-term consequences of what they are inventing. Stoner was relentless in developing the new type of rifle he believed would help the U.S. military and its allies facing communist insurgents during the Cold War. He overcame engineering challenges, avaricious colleagues who tried to steal his ideas, and strong resistance from elements of the military that wanted their more traditional rifle to be adopted. Stoner was trying to create a rifle that was light, easy to shoot, and would allow soldiers to carry more ammunition with them into the field. He wasn't thinking about how his rifle would be used, altered, or misused by the military and others in the decades to come. The same design attributes that made it a great weapon for that time and purpose also made it perfect today for mass shooters, with little or no training in firearms to use the gun against innocent Americans, wreaking havoc in just minutes. Our first opening quote is from J. Robert Oppenheimer, the lead developer of the atomic bomb. Quote, "When you see something that is technically sweet, you go ahead and you do it," he said. "And you argue about what to do about it only after you've had your technical success." Oppenheimer's insight lies at the core of American Gun. Invention leads society to places it didn't plan to go. Only after the invention is with us does society realize it has to solve problems arising from its arrival. Thoughtful discussion, compromise, and consensus solve those problems. Delay, lack of understanding, and bitter political battles make the problems worse.
Insight number 3. Ideas are cheap, creation is hard. Anyone can dream up the next great invention. Much of our book explores how Stoner's invention became a lethal handheld icon of the American century. It is a story that involves presidents from Eisenhower to Biden, bickering generals, schmoozy businessmen, a renegade spy, bullet-ridden goats, desperate soldiers, cult members, partisan senators, a tap dancer turned gunmaker, a gun-obsessed hedge fund king, mercenary ad men, a brigade of lobbyists, disturbed killers, and the victims. At a key moment in history, when it seemed that Stoner's rifle would be killed off by military bureaucrats, a powerful cigar-jumping Air Force General, Curtis LeMay, was asked if he wanted to shoot the gun at a party. Lobbyists for the rifle's manufacturer set up 3 ripe watermelons, and LeMay fired, causing a red and green explosion. He marched into the Pentagon soon after and demanded that the military purchase the weapon, which would become the Army's standard-issue rifle, the M16. Today, the semi-automatic version of Stoner's gun is the most popular rifle in America. But for a long time, it was a niche product that was despised by traditional hunters and mainstream gun makers. Cultural and political shifts after 9/11 transformed the rifle. Americans wanted to own the gun that was being carried by soldiers fighting terrorists in the Middle East. The 10-year federal assault weapons ban ended in 2004, making it palatable for mainstream American gun makers to sell AR-15s. Politics supercharged the market as the rifle became a symbol of Second Amendment rights and gun owners rushed to buy AR-15s, fearful that Democrats would ban them. Stoner was never interested in the commercial sales of his rifle. He wasn't a businessman. When he died in 1997, none of his obituaries even mentioned the civilian version of the weapon. Today, more than 20 million ARs have been sold to Americans, the majority in the past decade. The gun has also been embraced by disturbed loners bent on going to war with society. They use Stoner's rifle to attack Americans in movie theaters, grocery stores, schools, parades, anywhere people gather. It was the opposite of what Stoner wanted his gun to do. Instead of protecting Americans, it was killing them. Inventors ultimately have little control over how their inventions are used or by whom. Insight number 4. Inventors and their moral responsibility is a complicated topic that must be explored. Asking what responsibility inventors owe to society is important. In our book, we attempt to answer the question, what would Stoner and his colleagues who designed the AR-15 think about how their creation is being used today? We spoke with the last living member of the team that worked on the gun. We spoke with Stoner's family and friends. They all offered us profound insights on this delicate question that readers of our book will be sure to find eye-opening.
Insight number 5. Inventions inherently have unintended consequences, consequences that society must wrestle with. To go back to Oppenheimer, the AR-15 was, quote, technically sweet, unquote. But now society is left to argue about the technological development and its impact on the world. Today, the invention of which Eugene Stoner was most proud, the AR-15, has left the quiet, modest inventor with a strange and bloody legacy. All inventions have unintended consequences. Automobiles, smartphones, television, social apps, you name it. Now everyone is talking about artificial intelligence. Inventions pull societies into new places they often weren't prepared to go. The perpetual challenge for any society, and certainly for American society, is to find consensus and solve the unforeseen problems that arise from those inventions. Americans have done this in the past with a host of inventions. In the book, we discuss at length a range of laws, security measures, and other strategies being used to make us safer in a world where Eugene Stoner's invention is everywhere. But society can't yell its way out of this crisis. It has to find compromise and accept the technology, for better or for worse, is here to stay. Thanks so much for listening. We hope American Gun provides readers across the country with an important history about this uniquely American invention, its origins, and its odd saga from obscurity to ubiquity. We hope our book gives readers for the first time the true story of how this weapon improbably became the lightning rod of our great gun debate and how it evolved into the most popular rifle in America and the most despised.
Thank you, Cameron and Zusha. That was Five Big Ideas from American Gun, the true story of the AR-15 by Cameron McWhirter and Zusha Ellenson. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.